The Ira Kaufman Podcast and all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. At Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, General Manager Brian Danahy does not want you to miss their big President's Day sale at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Get a 2019 XT4 Premium Luxury, $319 a month. Plus, get up to $5,000 more for your trade. That's all part of the Instacash trade event. Hurry to the big President's Day sale at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit edmorsecadillactampa.com. That's edmorsecadillactampa.com. All the details on all the offers will be at the website. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Ira's been there many times, right there, Causeway Boulevard in Brandon. Fantastic 0% APR for 72 months for qualified buyers on 2018 CTX, 2018 XT5, and 2018 Escalade models. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.com is the website, and their Instacash trade event also gets you up to $5,000 more for your trade in the Cadillac CTS sedan, $419 per month lease. All the details at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.com. We can't say enough about their dealerships and the support from Ed Morse. We're going on, I think it is now, 8 years of Ed Morse support year-round for JoeBucksFan.com and for Ira in the last few years. So thanks to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. It's a busy and wild podcast today, and we are fired up for it. Here it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 4 weeks from NFL free agency on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. What a great show this is, and we haven't even started yet. Ira Kaufman is in the house wearing his Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon Pewter shirt. The sage of Tampa Bay sports he is. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper is here. And it has been a wild day at Joe Bucks Fan World Headquarters. Ira, you are looking good. How are you?
Well, I'm nursing a cold, gentlemen. Had it for about 3 days. Haven't seen my wife in about 3 days. She's staying away from me. She told me she wants no part of me. Taking it personally.
Is that divine intervention of some sort?
What I mean by that is
you're away from your wife and she used some kind of magic pixie dust to give you a cold?
I usually get one or two colds a winter. You guys remember 2 years ago when I could barely talk and I asked a question to Cutter. And by then Cutter had turned on me, you know because I wasn't writing pie in the sky about him because he was about to go 5-11. And he says, you got a cold, Ira? I said, yeah. He goes, you sound terrible. He didn't say I had a shrill voice like the voice of the Yankees did, 30 years ago.
Have you ever told that story in your podcast? That's a beautiful story.
I'm going to tell that story at the next podcast. Lee, we should not forget to give belated thanks to Joe Henderson. Did a very nice job last week.
Excellent.
Warmly received. It warmed Joe's heart that people still remember him. He told some good stories. In fact, he told that story about Rich McKay's secretary said Gruden needed an appointment to get into McKay's office after a while. I mean, that's classic stuff. But there are things happening on the Buck front, Steve, and that's what we're going to get into on this podcast. Wait a minute. The Kemper's got something.
I'm going to empty out my notebook. I got two items. Scuttlebutt, I hear, among other writers, other NFL writers.
This is potpourri. Scuttlebutt. Potpourri.
Well,
that was always a category on Jeopardy. Potpourri.
Potpourri. Right. And by the way, when I was a little kid, I didn't know anything about French, so I pronounced it potpourri.
Potpourri.
Or potpourri. Potpourri, that's the way. At any rate, a couple weeks ago, I talked to Emory Hunt, the czar of the playbook. He works for CBS Sports. He needs a bigger platform. He's excellent when it comes to breaking down college players. He's excellent at that. And well-spoken, and just he's dynamite. We were talking about, and we've talked about the same thing on the podcast here, that I think all of us sort of believe that Arians has any success at all, that his successor is already on board with the Bucks. Well, I mentioned this to Emory Hunt, and I said, it might be Armstrong, it might be Harold Goodwin, it might be Todd Bowles. He looked at me and goes, the way the NFL is going, don't count out Byron Leftwich as Arians' successor. And I thought that was a very interesting point, but I had never heard anybody bring up his name. Well, at Atlanta, talking to various NFL people, I brought the subject up. I heard two or three people said, look out, Byron Leftwich. He, apparently in NFL circles, he's that well thought of. So that's one item I want to
talk. Hold on before you go on item two. Steve, it's a little unusual that the chatter, some of the main chatter about a new coach in Tampa is who's going to be his successor on the staff. I mean, nobody talked about that with Raheem Morris. Nobody talked about that with Lovie Smith.
Well,
maybe it's a reflection of Arians is not 42 years old. I understand
Bingo.
That. He's probably not in this for the long haul. But man, there's a lot of chatter about some kind of successor chart on the Buccaneers. Well, we're not used to that around here.
No, not at all. Here's the juicy one for you. And it comes via a Jets beat writer. I won't mention his name because, again, it wasn't. He didn't tell this to me with any reasonable thought that it'd be public knowledge. But it was a Jets beat writer. There's many Jets beat writers.
Another deep background story by DeKemper without anybody's name on it. Here we go.
And it involves our old friend, popular ex-Bucks tight end, Austin Seferian Jackwagon.
Oh, my goodness.
And his Jets beat writer told me he loved Lovie Smith and he absolutely despised Dirk Koetter. And what was funny about that was, famously, Dirk Koetter ran ASJ out of an underwear football practice for, depending who you talk to, either he was stoned or drunk.
See, he had a funny way of showing his appreciation for Lovie Smith because he had a drinking problem that he later acknowledged, and it almost cost him his NFL career. And right now, as we stand right here in February of 2019, ASJ's done very, very little as a professional football player.
He played well for the Jets, and then he got a big contract in with the Jaguars.
He played so well for the Jets, they let him go.
Well, you know what? They tried to re-sign him, and at the time, I had to give ASJ a lot of credit. They were going to give him $4 million, and he said, no, I'm going to test the market. You know, they could have easily pulled that back, and sure enough, Tom Coughlin gave him $4.5 million, and he got hurt. So that's where he stands right now.
Okay, I thought he was cut, but apparently not.
He might have been cut after he was hurt. I don't think so, though. He was hurt.
Yeah, I was thinking like 2 or 3 weeks ago he was cut. I could look it up, but go ahead.
Anyway, Sage.
Hold on, Steve. Let me interject here. And we're sitting here outside Panera Bread, Steven.
They're not giving us any dime.
About 45 minutes ago, I went in there. I'm nursing a cold, and I figure a little hot tea will do me well. And I go over to all these canisters, and then they got all these teas in the corner.
From what nationalities?
And I see, like, Earl Grey tea. I see something from India. I see King Ferdinand. And I'm looking for freaking Lipton tea over here. The girl comes out. She goes, is there a problem? I go, you got 6 obscure teas here from all parts of the world. Can I have some Lipton tea, something plain for a plain man? She goes, let me check the back. She comes out about 30 seconds later. Sorry, sir. These 6 are the only ones we got. I said, I'm not a King Ferdinand guy, so I didn't have any tea, and I'm going to blame them if this cold doesn't clear up.
Well, as long as we're piling on, Sage, I got to say, I think it's like her second or third day. I learned that after you did your tea thing because I went to get – I said, I'd like to buy an iced coffee.
This is classic, classic.
I went to buy an iced coffee, and I said to her, may I please have – an empty cup with ice in it, and I'll pay for a nice coffee. I'll make it myself. And that really confused her quite a bit, an empty cup with ice.
Charge, how much to charge?
She got the manager, and so things became a little more clear after that. So, all right, Ira, enough. And I don't think
we love Panera Bread.
But
I
don't think anybody puts the bread after Panera anymore. That was like 15 years ago. Panera Bread.
Don't give us a dime.
I'm going in for a bowl of soup later. We'll see if they got the King Ferdinand soup.
Right, well, earlier, you were complaining about Thai tea.
Yeah. I don't need much to complain about.
Well,
you
don't want to offend our. How many listeners do you have in Thailand?
It's
a beautiful
3
area.
I believe 3.
And Austin Seferian Jenkins is on the market.
He's on the market.
Yeah, they did not pick up his option, the Jags.
All right, Sage. Here we go. Bucks fans have been hit with some news, and first is the news that wasn't really news. Kareem Hunt is off the market now. Bucks need a running back. And Kareem Hunt, we know his situation. Likely he'll get a 6-game suspension for the violent video that surfaced.
I think it could be longer, Steve. I think it could be longer.
It could be. I don't think so. And I'm not sure what the rules are as tied to the NFLPA. But I thought 6 was the max. So we'll stick with that. Even if it's 7, whatever it is. Anyway, he wasn't arrested. And we see the video and et cetera, et cetera. So he's a member of the Browns. And the Browns, we learn, are paying him $1 million and change this year, and he's what, 23 years old, still had, you know, like 24 excellent games in the National Football League, and the Bucks don't take a shot. And there are people out there trying to say, you know, I'll just say, you know, Rick Stroud wrote in the Times that the Bucks couldn't afford to go with Hunt because they're still dealing with a Jameis Winston fallout. To me, it's pure nonsense. I want to get your take, Ira, and what do you think of the Bucks not making this move?
I think the Bucks had a little bit of interest in Kareem Hunt. I do. How could they not? Led by Bruce Arians, the new man in town, who's not above giving people second chances. I'm very familiar with Kareem Hunt as a Chiefs fan. Heck of a dual threat. Heck of a dual threat. Maybe a notch below, you know, your Todd Gurley's as a runner slash receiver. He's right up there. Ezekiel Elliott. Now, part of it is, you know, they had a very imaginative offense, the Chiefs. And don't forget, he was outstanding with Alex Smith. So it wasn't just, you know, this new quarterback coming and setting the world on fire. On paper, Lee, the Bucs should have been desperate for Kareem Hunt. Even if he was suspended for 6 games, he's going to come back. What surprises me is he picked Cleveland. I think he had several suitors that were legitimately interested. Nick Chubb's a heck of a running back on Cleveland. Now, from a Cleveland perspective, Steve, it's obvious that the John Dorsey was the key player. Selected Kareem Hunt, scouted Kareem Hunt in Kansas City. Willing to give him a second chance. Doesn't think he's a bad person. Had some horrible judgment. Willing to give him another chance. I'd be curious to see how far the negotiations went with the Bucs, but to say that the Bucs had no interest in Kareem Hunt because of past problems with Jameis Winston and public perception, I'm not buying that, Lee. I'm just not buying it.
Well, here's the thing. Is he banned from the NFL or is he not?
He's eligible.
Then that's all you need to know.
Case closed.
Case closed. Then for the Bucs, who are dying for a running attack, and a guy, a cheap guy, emphasize the word cheap, a cheap guy with his talents are out there. If they weren't interested in him, that is grotesquely irresponsible. And don't give me the... Now here's something. I got a lot of this on Twitter last night, Monday night. Steve and I did on Twitter. I do not in any way understand this argument. Well, he's going to be gone for the first 6 games. Yeah, and he's going to be available for 10 games after that. And how many years after that?
And he's going to be fresh.
Thank you. What is this mentality? Oh, you can't have him. He's not going to be available the first 6 games. Does that mean if Levante David sprains his ankle in the third preseason game and they say he's going to be out for 6 games, that you cut him? Of course not. It's ridiculous. I do not understand that. And don't give me this crap. The words from Jameis Winston himself. The words from Jameis Winston's own mouth, Super Bowl week. He was on Radio Row. He was asked, it was CBS Radio, Tiki and Turney. Jameis was asked, you're not very popular in Tampa because your past deeds. Are fans going to come around to you? And Jameis himself said, winning will take care of everything.
Steve, are the Bucs in position to position themselves as the conscience of the NFL? I mean... You do that when you go 14-2 and you pick your spots.
No, I think it's just it's just silly. Referring to the interview Lee mentioned, and eventually I'll write it up. Jameis actually responded. He was the only people that I could tell who actually asked him about his misdeeds in the past, or just the suspension or whatever. However, they phrased it very gently, and Jameis actually said everybody has some things. As if everybody gets suspended and whatever. So, which was ludicrous, really. It speaks to his weird mindset that he's got. But, no, I mean, look, Hunt is eligible, as Lee said. So, he's eligible. And he hasn't been arrested. Nobody's condoning what he did.
He comes cheap.
But
that's the key thing.
He made sense for the Buccaneers. And that's really it. They didn't do it. Now, maybe they were in the bidding, Ira. I did reach out to Jason Light about that. And it's been more than 24 hours, no response. So, to me, he doesn't want to talk about it, which is his right. But also, I don't know how to interpret that. But for whatever reason, they didn't do it. And maybe they were waiting to get more clarification from the league, and the Browns felt more comfortable taking that leap. But maybe we'll get the truth at some point. Did they meet with Kareem Hunt? Maybe they did. I don't know.
Jason Light, who's averaged 5 wins per year in his 5-year Buck career? That Jason Light turns his back on a talented back like Kareem Hunt? Is that what you're
inexpensive.
Trying to tell me?
That's inexpensive. The key word, because the Bucs are a salary cap
crunch. Suddenly salary cap issues are bedeviling this team. We haven't talked about that in a lot of years with this team.
They are and they aren't, but that's a good thing to get to, as we said. 4 weeks from free agency. Also, to back up Lee's point a little bit, in 2017, Quan Alexander got injured in the opener, and he was out 8 games, and then made the Pro Bowl. You know, guys can have a big impact in 10 games after a 6-game suspension. And, of course, we know what happened with Doug Martin. They were willing to pay him like a remaining $5 million to come back after suspension. He was hot garbage. So I would much rather have Hunt coming back.
Yeah, and his argument, he'll be gone 6 games. Okay, he'll be gone 6 games. And with the Bucs, turning their nose up on him, they can rely on Jacquizz Rodgers for the last 10 games.
Understood.
All right, Sage, salary cap is in the spotlight. Now, we know the Bucks don't have a lot of it. We'll say they have about $6 million, and the eventual raise in the salary cap will offset Jameis's raise, so that's kind of a wash. And then now we need to accrue more money. So that first step came with Vinnie Curry getting launched. That adds $8 million to the pot. And Curry, an underwhelming free agent signing by Jason Light. Guy practiced hard. I think he cared. I don't think he was a loafer, but didn't get it done.
What happened Tuesday was an acknowledgement, Lee, by this franchise that Vinnie Curry wasn't worth the money. It didn't work out. You got to be careful, Lee. You got to be careful by taking guys from good teams that are surrounded by good teammates, good players. You put them in another environment. The coaching staff's different. And you don't get as much as... You know, look at Nate Solder from the Patriots, the left tackle. The guy's 6'8", 330. Everybody and their mother scrambled after Nate Solder. Well, he left the Patriots, and guess what? He was 50% of the player he was in New England because he's not surrounded by Dante Scarnecca, who's the best in the business.
Thank you.
He's the best. Technique, motivation. Yeah, all of a sudden, Solder departs, football nirvana, different teammates. Most importantly, different coaching staff. And the guy's not an impact player. You can't name the five New England offensive linemen. You're lucky if you can name one of them. Brady was sacked once in three playoff games against three damn good teams. Chargers, Chiefs, and Rams. And you got to be careful. And again, free agency, buyer beware. Polian always says that. Bill Polian always says that. You got to do your homework,
well,
Lee. And the Bucks haven't done enough homework.
Not
in
everybody.
Free agency.
Not everybody can draft talent the way Polian could. So that's like, Belichick does this. Yeah, well, you know, nobody's Bill Belichick. You're talking about probably the best football mind in the history of the game.
And so most of the time, Lee, when you're very active in free agency, you're making up for mistakes in the draft. That's what you're doing.
This may rankle you, but there's no way in hell I would call New England nirvana football. They win, but that's not nirvana.
Well,
Los Angeles, maybe.
If nirvana is picking up Vince Lombardi trophies, it's nirvana. Vinnie Curry just didn't make much of an impact as a Buccaneer. He'll probably get another job. He won't make as much money somewhere else.
Good dude.
Steve, good dude. You got to wonder if Bo Allen's next. Got to wonder.
Bo Allen, $5 million. If they ditch him, you're looking at, of course, Gerald McCoy has got that big $13 million number hanging out there. And, you know, interesting enough, as you mentioned, the Super Bowl, Ndamukong Suh, he went to a 3-4 defense after playing really the same position as McCoy or the same skill set. And, he thrived. Now, granted, he's playing next to Aaron Donald and this different team, but could McCoy do what Suh did and be in a 3-4? I don't know. I think he could, but I just don't think they're going to pay him, Ira. As we sit here today, what do you think they're going to pay McCoy $13 million?
No, I think he's in trouble. I think they need salary flexibility. We have not mentioned Donovan Smith. We haven't mentioned him. They got to make a decision on him. They could franchise him. I don't think they're in position, and I don't think Bruce Arians, looking at the film, is going to tell Jason Light, 5 years, $65 million, let's do it. I don't see it.
Well, you know what?
I don't see it for Donovan Smith.
I agree they're not going to give it long-term, but I think it has more to do not so much with Donovan Smith, has more to do with the new CBA. Now, I'm not sitting here like NFL radio. They call something that was signed 8 years ago new. It's not new. I'm talking about the new CBA, which is coming after the 2020 season. I think that's got more to do with it. That's why I think Jameis gets tagged next year because, you know, who knows what that next collective bargaining agreement is going to be like. Nobody knows.
Now, the Bucks caught a break in a terrible way on Quan Alexander.
I got to hit you with something, Eric, because you put something out there just a minute ago that might have people hitting the brakes or pulling in for shots of whiskey. Now, Bruce Arians, do you really think he says anything else to Jason Light other than yay or nay on a player? Because you said he's not telling him 5 years, $84 million. My gut says Arians evaluates the guys and says, Jason, keep them. We want to keep him 1 year at a time. We'll figure out you figure out the money end of it.
I think Arians is involved in every aspect of this operation. Every one of them.
Really?
Now, Light's the GM, and I understand that. But Light was also the GM for Lovie Smith and DeKemper. You mentioned every other day how Lovie Smith had all the power in that organization.
You know that.
So who says Arians doesn't have a lot of power right now?
Very well could be. I don't discount that.
I'm not saying Jason Light's been emasculated, gentlemen. There's your word for the day. But Bruce Arians wields a lot of clout.
Emasculated? Is that referring to gelding, you mean?
Arians has a lot of juice. A lot of juice. Lee.
Okay. He's not been gelded. Light has not been gelded.
I was going to make a point about Quan Alexander. Look, it's terrible about what happened to Quan Alexander. Yeah. Terrible from a Buck perspective. But it really hurts his money leverage. So from that perspective, the Bucks could probably get him on the cheap, other than if he was healthy and testing the free agent market.
Interesting you said that, and I'm going to make a point here. I just want your feedback, not saying anything else.
And I'm on record saying I want Quan Alexander back.
Perfect world, yeah, because he's the kind of guy you want on your team as far as heart, as far as good teammate. And, you know, I've said this before, and it gets people hacked off, but that defense got better without him. I'm sorry. That's an ugly fact.
Well,
no, but here's something Jenna Lane literally just put on Twitter maybe five minutes
ago. Your Starbucks partner, Mike Smith, also left the premises about that time.
Pete's.
Now, what are you
Pete's
saying about
Peter.
Jenna Lane? Well,
she
this?
Claims she knows of teams that are going to offer a Quan more than $10 million.
She's been talking to Oily Drew Rosenhaus, I'm sure. That's what it smells like, because he's Quan's agent. Ira, look, to me, you got Pro Bowlers, C.J. Mosley, and you've got Pro Bowler Anthony Barr out there, young players with tremendous success, tremendous players. They might hit the free agency market. If you want to turn this defense around, you can't be playing games, hoping Quan gets healthy and that he'll fit a 3-4. Go get a cornerstone piece of the damn team. And I know a lot of fans, I feel like they're scared to pull away from these names they know. And, you know, this thing has to be blown up.
I agree with that.
There's something to be said for that, Steve. There's no question about it. Look, I've said it many times on this podcast. Quan Alexander is not a polished football player. I've said it. He's got a long way to go. He's not disciplined. And that ain't going to go over well with Arians.
So Bowles
better straighten him out. If he comes back.
Quan wants to win bad. He's a hard worker. But, you know, this is not Harry High School. This is not college. It's not LSU.
He's the guy that went after Swaggy Baker.
Yes. I mean, like I said, he's the there's a word that begins with the I. I can't think of it right now, but intangibles.
Intangibles.
He's got all the intangibles you would ever want in a player. But it's what did Dirk Cutter say time and time again? It's a production business. And I hate to say it, but gosh darn, it really sticks in my craw. Not craw.
The guy ain't Ray Lewis over there.
Yeah,
let's not go crazy.
It sticks in my craw that the defense got better without him. You should not say that about a middle linebacker.
I think he's got something that a new coaching staff can work with. But
he's
Steve,
a good football player.
They could use a Mosley or a Barr. There's no question about it.
Who doesn't love Quan, but you got to make some decisions. You can't just not make decisions.
I don't know
what's
going on with Beckwith.
Unless I actually see him on a football field, I don't expect that.
We thought he was coming back in November. Didn't happen.
November, hell, we expected him back in April.
Well, he'll be on the roster because he's only a third-year guy, and he's super young. And
he played well as a rookie, Lee.
He's cheap.
Well.
He's got a lot of promise, but I got to be bluntly honest here, Ira. I think he's done. I mean, he was he had surgery in April on an ankle. He never showed up on a football field. And you know he wanted to play. He was in the locker room. He was doing what the Bucks told him. That thing never healed. That spooks the hell out of me. And until I see him on the football field, honestly, I don't expect him. And I don't think the Bucks have the luxury of expecting him.
And
if he comes back, great.
Steve, I would argue that the Bucks don't have enough quality linebackers to switch to a 3-4, even if Bowles wants to.
Well, and one thing that I think is an indictment of Jason Light, outside of the kicking situation, which has been a circus, you know, the Bucks. I had wrote a little post about this, Ira. They didn't have one guy in the top 100 of special teams tackles last year. One player, didn't they didn't have one. Justin Watson led the team, but it appeared that he probably was ranked maybe tied for 150th in the NFL in special teams tackles. You know, Light just hasn't been able to find a special teams guy.
You saw that guy, Slater on New England. The guy's fabulous. Every time the ball has to be downed at the 3-yard line, it's Slater. Slater. The guy's tremendous.
When I think of Slater,
Matthew Slater.
Well, when I think of Slater, I've never seen him play because I don't watch the Patriots. I did not watch one play of the Super Bowl.
Come on, Lee. But, come on. You're better than that. You're better than that.
I'm being honest.
You're only a little better than that, but you're better than that.
When you say Slater, I happen to think of Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Oh, my goodness. See, now what are we talking about over here, Steve? I brought up Ann Margaret the other day. You didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
Oh, no. I know who Ann Margaret is, but I'm not 70 years old either.
All right, Sage.
I'm falling asleep with dreams of her in a...
had me going out with Ava Gardner.
Yeah, I did. You and Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
So, look, the Bucks are in this process of clearing
May West.
Salary cap, and it's kind of sad when you have to clear a bunch of cap and you're 5-11. That's sort of like hang your head territory.
But you said blow the thing up. That's not bad,
you have to get younger, very old defensive line, and you need bodies that are good bodies. You can't just sit around hugging everybody and Hargraves is coming back. He'll be back. He'll compete, but they got to make
changes. What about our guy?
What guy?
DeMar, our go-to guy over there.
Is he really that bad?
Well, I'm saying we can't let our personal feelings, because we always go to him after the game. The guy's fabulous. No filter. Tells you what's going on.
He played most of the year
last
year,
didn't
he?
Yeah.
He played
Steve,
most of the year.
Can they squeeze another year out of DeMar Dotson?
Well, what we don't know, Ira, is what's coming in the draft. And that's a huge variable. It's not even worth talking about now because you got free agency, which will answer clear questions.
You could find a right tackle maybe in free agency.
But
it's
hard to find
a left tackle.
We just don't know what they're going to do in the draft, if they're going to draft a left tackle.
Well,
how confident they are. And look, Jason Light's got to be confident in his mind. Hey, I drafted Donovan Smith, plugged him right in there. We led the league in rushing.
Guy never missed a game.
I knew what I was doing. He led the league in rushing. All this stuff, the Bucs offensive line, nobody's
4 years ago, Steve.
I know, but I'm talking about the mindset of the guys in charge. We don't know exactly what they really believe, where they want to spend their money.
Steve,
Bruce Arians ain't looking at tape of 2015 Donovan Smith. He's looking at 2018 Donovan Smith, and at times he might be throwing up.
I got a great offensive line nugget for you, but I got to pat Steve on the back here. Steve made a salient point. There's a word for you.
Ooh, that's
the draft. It's almost like, well, I could get crude here, but worrying about the draft as we speak here in early February before free agency is sort of like looking at a Hooters counter, like the blonde, the brunette. The free agency.
I knew you were going to get to a Hooters calendar sooner or later.
And why not? Free agency will dictate what you do in the draft. Free agency will dictate. So people are like, well, I want this guy in the draft. I want this guy in the draft. Wait till the free agency. Then you'll have an idea of who to go after. So,
are you confident?
No, I'm not confident I can pick up a Hooters calendar girl.
This team's ability to identify quality free agents and get value for them?
No.
Based on the last 5 years, Mr. Kepler?
There's a whole lot I'm not confident in his team. But I will say this, and I've written it many times. Lovie Smith put this team in such a freaking hole, they still haven't climbed out of it.
Well, you stop picking on Lovie Smith.
Why? Did he
do a
good job?
Look at the job he's doing in Illinois.
I know.
He just got an extension.
That's his son. That's not him. And, oh, by the way, he's defensive coordinator now. And another one of his sons he hired as a linebackers coach. You talk about the offensive line.
I talk about it because Bruce Arians talks about it. It's the only area that he talks about.
Before they hired him, you talked about the offensive line. Sober Bucks fans will agree with me on this. So will you, Ira. So will Steve.
Sober Buck fans. It could be a minority.
It could, because they ought to be drinking the way this team's
been
going last few years. 2014, Bucks offensive line was a nightmare. To quote Warren Sapp, it was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare. That was the worst offensive line I've ever seen for the Bucs. It was horrible. Only two guys came back that started that year that returned the following season.
And they went 2-14 and then picked Jameis Winston.
Oh, they were horrible. I mean, Anthony Collins, they told him to go home at the end of November. Don't come back. He hasn't taken a snap since, unless it was with his kid in the backyard. Garrett Gilkey, another Lovie Smith line. He can play center in the NFL. He hadn't played center, but Lovie deemed him NFL worthy. Josh Allen, I'll never forget. He got hit.
I can't believe you remember some of these characters.
I'll never forget Josh Allen did a curly high. I've never seen this in the NFL. He got hit so hard, and part of it because he's subpar. He is in the AAF, by the way. I saw him in an AAF game this past weekend. He got hit so hard, he actually did a curly Howard, like, swinging his arms to try to keep his balance. That offensive line was a train. O'Neal Collins, it was a train wreck. Well, take a guess what Bucks running backs, what they averaged per carry with that horrible, I mean, that personified horrible, that offensive line, how horrible
they
were.
I'll say 4-0.
Very good. 3.9. Very good. Now, would you say, even though with its warts, with its faults, Last year's offensive line was better than 2014?
You would think so. Okay. Sure.
What did the Bucs running backs average last year?
3.7, 3.8.
3.9. As I've been saying time and time and time again, it's the running backs. And there's a Bucs fan, to Steve's point, that they want to hug the players and they recognize the name. They don't want to leave them go. Some guy was arguing with me on Twitter how Peyton Barber's great. I'm sorry. 800 yards a season is not great. That's 50 yards a freaking game. That's a different definition of great than I have. I love Peyton Barber. Steve, works his ass off, but you need production.
Steve, yeah. DeKuyper and I look at this a little differently. I like to focus on the O-line and give me a Lamar Miller type. And I'll get 1,100 yards. He's looking for Ezekiel Elliott. it all depends on what you want.
Oh, absolutely. And I think actually the Bucs running backs were lower than that 3.9, Lee. I'm pretty sure that include that what your number you're given factored in Jameis and his average, and Fitzpatrick had a high scrambling average too.
I just went the Pro Football Reference and it said average yards per carry team. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was worse than that.
And
hey,
we know
back.
Josh McCown ran his ass off.
Fitzpatrick.
No, McCown.
2014.
Oh, 2014.
We know he ran his ass off.
I mean, that line, I know Jason Light handpicked Evan Smith, and that was a disaster. And Hawley replaced him the next year.
Well, I thought Evan Smith, and I'm not being a shill for Light here. I could have sworn Evan Smith was one of those players Lovey scouted in his basement, in his suburban Chicago basement. I could be wrong. I could have sworn he'd love
and,
to say that.
Mankins had a terrible year in 2014. Wasn't ready to come here, bounced back in the next year when they were good.
He had a good year in 2015.
Yeah, but he struggled with the 2014, climate, he was terrible. That's the only time I thought a player on the Bucs might actually punch me in the face, Ira, when I had a discussion with
Mankins. Mankins is a nice reserved veteran.
I got under his skin. I was asking about his performance, and he got really pissed off. It was probably maybe like
we blame him, the league, when you know that the way, you know, Isbitz burrows into you. The guy's a six-time Pro Bowler, and you're trying to belittle the guy.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't trying to belittle
I don't think it was Isbitz. It was the fact that he was with the Patriots, and he got sent down here.
Yeah, it was like week 10, week 11, and I wasn't belittling him, Ira, but he took an aggressive posture with me. Let's put it that way.
Ira, with the word.
Did I jump to your defense, or where was I?
It was solo.
Right.
Mankins getting traded down here. Would the word banished be proper?
Yeah, yes, absolutely banished.
Banished.
And who was the tight end he was traded for?
People
thought the guy was going to be a good player.
Right, Tim Wright. Tim Wright.
Who the Bucs traded for twice.
And the Bucs traded a draft pick as well, fourth round pick in Tim Wright. And Tim Wright won a Super Bowl and caught, I think, 7 touchdowns that year with the
and
Patriots.
And then he disappeared.
He got hurt.
Well, did the Bucs re-sign him and traded him again?
They did, I forget. Yeah,
did
yeah. He was
maybe?
Here with. He was here in 20. No, they had re-signed him in 2014. And then they traded him again. So it was the second time around, yeah. All right, Ira, look, the rebuild continues. You asked about DeMar Dotson. We got a little off track. You know, I think Dotson might stay, possibly. You know, I could see him as a – Jason Light likes to call these guys bridge guys. He did play well, you know, overall. He's not going to be confused with a Pro Bowler. But Dirk Cutter said on his radio show, I remember him saying that he thought – Dotson legitimately might have been the best pass blocking right tackle in the NFL last year. And I don't think Cutter's blind or clueless. You know, so let's just say Dotson's top 10 pass blocking NFL. Maybe Arians thinks he can work with that guy for a year and they get a rookie in there. But the help has to come from somewhere and you can't be clinging to these guys. You know, the Donovan Smith thing could get very interesting because what everybody doesn't seem to want to get is if the Bucs tag him, doesn't mean he's going to sign it and agree to it.
Doesn't mean he has to sign it.
And, you know, Lee's talking about the new collective bargaining agreement.
He's going to get paid, right, Steve? So
somebody's going to pay him, but it doesn't mean he has to like it. You know, we remember what happened with Jason Pierre-Paul. Didn't he not sign his tag and then he blew his hand up? Not every player accepts the tag right away. And
well, that quitter up in Pittsburgh is a perfect example.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to look at it. But Le'Veon Bell, he decided I didn't like my deal. I didn't sign it.
I'm going jet skiing.
Lee, staying on the O-line for a second. Did you think Ryan Jensen lived up to expectations?
I'm glad you brought that up.
Considering his salary.
I'm glad you brought that up because Bucs Nation, Gil's our good friend, and they had a podcast with Jensen that I listened to last night. I got a few nuggets. One of them ran this morning on JoeBucsFan.com. I guess he had, you know, the guy interviewing him, and I forget his name, I apologize, and nothing personal at all. It was a good interview. Prior to coming to the Bucs, he had 9 penalties, and last year he had 11. you know, he basically doubled what he had the year before in Pittsburgh.
He's saying some of them were bad calls. Bad calls.
Well, he did. You know, he did say, hey, you know, I got to play better. He thinks he's being targeted, similar to what Mike Evans is being targeted on push-offs. Previously, years ago, Kellen Winslow was being targeted by referees. Jensen thinks he's got a reputation and that the referees are bird-dogging him. But he didn't make any excuses. Like, look, I got to play better. I got to keep that in mind. I'm being bird-dogged. Now, Jensen was also asked, and I thought it was a very good answer. Fans are just going nuts about the offensive line. Do you think it's fair? Do you think they're right? He said, no, it's not fair. He said, yes, we could play better. Yes, we could do better in a run. He said, but there's things going on that is minutia that we can correct that, you know, he goes, I don't expect a common fan to notice or to see. And he said, you know, we were one of the top passing offenses in the league. You can't put up those yards unless someone up front's blocking for the quarterback. Fair point. That's a fair point.
Steve, is he one of the 5 to 10 best centers in the NFL?
Look, they made him the top paid center. And two nuggets there, Ira. I talked to Jensen early December, wrote it up. Jensen believed that stuff that he wasn't called for in Baltimore, he was called for in Tampa. And I think part of that is when you play around a bunch of soft-ass offensive linemen around you, you stand out more as the bully, and the referees have the mindset of...
Cutter wanted a badass football team.
Right, but the officials know they call a Baltimore game. We can't call everything. These guys play super physical. You call a Bucks game, and you got a mauler out there, you're going to call stuff.
Absolutely right.
Jensen made it clear to me that... You know, he wasn't mad. He's like, stuff I got called for here in Tampa, I didn't get called for in Baltimore. So there's hopefully Aarons can straighten that out. Is he a top center? No, he's overpaid. But I think he could bounce back well. He gives the effort, and he's really not bad.
You know, Steve made a hell of a point. If, like in Baltimore, you got five guys playing aggressive and physical, you got to look out for five guys. With the Bucks, you only have to look out for one. That's an excellent point.
He does bring that physicality. He does bring physicality.
And any offensive lineman will tell you this. When you're covering for a lousy player next to you at center, which is their job, okay, you know, he's shifting everything right to Benenock. You're not the same player. So
Lousy might be kind, Steve.
They got to fix this. They got to fix this, Ira. And, you know, Sage Matt Bryant is out there, going to be 44 years old. You know the family. You covered him years ago.
I might have an update on Matt Bryant.
You always hound me about sources. Can I hound you? Because I know who you talk about.
Yeah, you can hound me.
You going to say who you talk to?
No, you can hound me. I'll have a Matt Bryant update.
All right. Because I know who you talk to.
All right.
Cough up your source. Come on, Ira.
Not yet, baby. Not
so,
yet.
So, Ira, I got to be straight with you. I think it's just plain stupid to sign Matt Bryant. You're going to sign a guy who's going to be 44. For some reason, the Falcons let him go. He's not going to kick forever. He just got hurt. Is this organization so freaking inept that you can't find a 30-year-old kicker that can hang around for 5 years or a 27-year-old guy like everybody else does? The Browns kicker, Lee, wrote about it. He was going to the Pro Bowl almost, and this is a guy they got out of FIU or whatever.
I understand the point. Matt Bryant
thing is just... It would be evidence number one that this organization is just throwing garbage to try to find kickers and hope something sticks.
You know, I had a conversation, Lee, less than a month ago with a former Buck executive. And again, unidentified, DeKemper, right up your alley. Unidentified. Former Buck executive.
I won't say it.
Never mind what you think.
Yeah, come on, say it.
And we were talking about the organization or whatever. And the quote was, and it was chilling. I mean, it's a chilling quote. They simply don't know what they're doing. They simply don't know what they're doing. An 11-year playoff drought feeds into that suggestion.
Yeah.
Lee, you don't want to say that about the powers that be. They don't know what they're doing. It doesn't get any worse than that, Lee.
That's damning. By the way, I got one for you. I'm going to give her credit because she came up with it. Jenna Lane.
Again with the Jenna Lane?
Well, am I supposed to give credit to Bassinger when she came up with it? And I love Tom Bassinger. You know that.
Jenna Lane with some original research? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, her name's on it. Who else am I going to give it to? Alex Flanagan?
Let's hear it.
Name the team who has the worst field goal percentage in the NFL since Matt Bryant was released.
It's a long time ago. That's 10 years. It's got to be your Buccaneers.
Your Buccaneers, baby.
You know what that number was? You know,
I don't know offhand. But I just know, you know, I mean, doesn't need any clarification. It's worse.
That costs you games. That costs you games.
Oh, hell yeah. It cost the Bucs probably a playoff a couple years ago.
Ira, if they sign Matt Bryant, I might disappear for a day because I am that The Bucks aren't winning the Super Bowl next year. They're not. I'm sorry.
You want to find a long-term solution at kicker.
And you need an answer at kicker. And Matt Bryant is not the answer at kicker. Is he going to kick in 2 years in the Super Bowl when you hope to be there? I don't know. At 45 years old? Come on, man. Do like every other team does and find a freaking kicker who is not Matt Bryant.
I can't argue with Steve on this one. I'd love to. I'd love to.
I could see them doing it short term only because Arians is a short term guy. But long term, that's crazy. That's crazy. Now, Adam Vinatieri. Okay, let's take the outlier as the norm.
Now, we got to acknowledge that Bryant's been great as a Falcon. Been great.
He's been great. Why are they ditching him? He's an institution up there.
They're ditching him for the same reason you just enunciated for the Bucks.
Yeah, because it's going to
be a long-term solution at kicker.
Because he's 44 years old, and he got hurt. You know, I'm not against the guy. I like Matt Bryan, who doesn't appreciate that story, but it's a little bit wacky, Sage. All right, Ira, look, we sit here, and fans are really excited, chomping at the bit. You got free agency, 4 weeks.
Lee's going to the combine.
Lee's going to the combine. You got
Frosty in Indianapolis.
April 1st, the team is back on the field. Reporting back for
Isn't
duty.
Isn't that April Fool's Day over there, Steve? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Very fitting. I want to horn in on something you said earlier because I think it's important. You said Arians is wielding big-time power in this organization. It was a great analogy. Just like Lovey, there's no reason to think anything else is the case whatsoever.
It's part of the reason you were able to lure him here.
Right.
It's part
probably.
Of the reason.
And Jason Light, he witnessed the success of Arians. And so, look, Light is trying to duplicate in many ways because he can't duplicate what did with Belichick. He's trying to duplicate the model he saw with Bruce Arians. So who better to duplicate it with than Arians? And I agree with you, Ira. I think Arians is going to be calling a ton of shots. That's what intrigues me so much about this offseason is, man, where do they want that young talent? Right? Where do you want to put the young talent, the draft talent? They have to have a plan. Lord hopes they have a plan. I just think the young talent is going to go on the defensive side of the ball.
Steve, you know what's ironic about this? I think Arians will be less hands-on from a coaching standpoint and more hands-on from a personnel standpoint. That's the way I'm reading this thing. And I think it's his way of transitioning 2 or 3 years from now. All of a sudden, he's in another job. He's not coaching. And, he'll be a consultant or personnel executive with the team. Could be with the Bucks, you know, with Leftwich sitting in his coach's office. But I think he's going to be delegating a lot of stuff from a coaching standpoint. He trusts Todd Bowles implicitly. He thinks Leftwich is a rising star in the business. We know he's worked with Goodwin extensively. So I don't think it's going to be everywhere in every freaking room. Stay in here till 10 o'clock at night. I don't see that. But from a personnel standpoint, he's wielding a big stick.
Yeah, we started the secession chatter, which doesn't really interest me because I'm more interested in now.
The guy hasn't coached his first game yet.
Right, but Arians, totally see him in the Pat Riley role of moving upstairs, finishing out his contract. If things are going pretty well and there is actually a successor, then it would be a natural for Arians to stick around, for the Glazers to have a comfort level. A guy who could save the day if he has to, and they'd go in that way. But the power end of it's going to be fascinating, Ira, I'm telling you, especially when it comes to money. And maybe Arians feels he can negotiate with some of these players. Maybe Arians feels that, you know what, I'm Bruce Arians, and I can do my thing, and I can get McCoy to take
I'm a two-time coach of the year.
I'll get McCoy to take $9.5 million a year instead of 13 and hang on here for a couple years.
Well, good luck dealing with McCoy's agent at that point. Keep your eye on the offensive line, Steve. I'm not going away from that. It's an area of intrigue. It's an area that Arians has talked about. He doesn't talk about the secondary. What's he said about the linebacker staff? Nothing. What's he said about the running back stable? Offensive line, we need a major upgrade. Keep your eyes open, Steve. It's coming.
All right, my eyes are open, Ira. Anything else you want to hit on, Sage, before your closing words, your wisdom?
Yeah, I got one more thing, Lee. Get some freaking Lipton tea in here, Panera. Otherwise, we'll take our business elsewhere. How do you like that, the Kemper?
All right, Ira's coming back this week for another podcast. We keep the train rolling. Two more podcasts. Thank you to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Their website's so easy, edmorsecadillactampa.com. EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. The podcast, you can find it on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play. There are other platforms. I know so many listen right on JoeBucksFan.com, and I think we keep things fun. Even if it's a day old, you can always get something out of the podcast.
And Lee, when you get back from Indy,
not even leaving yet. What is
you
this?
Say? You save a couple of nuggets for the Ira Kaufman podcast. You save them, baby.
Oh, you know I will.
Put them in your pocket.
But the comments a couple weeks ago.
I don't know if you're going to bump into Mike Smith, Mike Evans, whoever you bump into. I want it on the podcast.
I would be shocked if Mike Evans shows up in Indianapolis. Mike Smith, maybe. But Mike Evans, I don't know why he want to go to Indianapolis in the dead of winter.
You know, I could just see you going to that steakhouse. I can just
almost
see it. And getting that shrimp cocktail.
I love
with
it.
All the sauce on it.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, I might.
But you got to eat it moderately. If you go in and start shoveling your
face. Well, you know that great story I told about Anwar Richardson first time in there, and we said, pile it on, Anwar.
Ooh.
The more the better.
If you go about it delicately, it's good stuff. If you start groveling it, then you're in trouble.
You put it past Bruce Arians to be in that room?
I've had drinks with him in that room.
There you go.
You want to hear a good one, Ira? Before we head out, he'll give you an Anwar Richardson story. Anwar Richardson, who used to write for the Tribune, early in our days here at Joe Bucks Fan, he actually had the gall to say that because we ran a poll on JoeBucksFan.com saying, would you trade Josh Freeman for Ben Roethlisberger, a poll asking fans if they would do that, that somehow we were destroying our credibility and we were a joke and we would never last. Well, see you later, Anwar.